Oh. You come in.
Sitting in a vacuum when you're in. So there we are. So thank you for this. Welcome.
First one was cancelled,
second one didn't take place, and so here we are. Which is fine. We're quiet and orderly and we get the thing. Okay, welcome. We were last progressed the Doctoral College of Being, which means I'm now Director of Postgraduate Studies, Science and Engineering. So, and as a social scientist, I know virtually nothing that goes on in the entire place, which gives me a great advantage. That comes to everything I've touched with. Yeah. So I'm Neil Ravenscroft, and I'm actually Professor of Land Economy here in Environment and Technology. And you're head of school this afternoon. But we're all quite ambidextrous in this school, so this faculty. And then Shelley Duncan is the one person around the state who knows what she's doing. As the administrator. So, okay, you've been through progression reviews before. I know this because we've got a copy of the last one you did. What we're really about, as progression suggests, is checking how you're getting on, seeing whether there are any barriers that are preventing you moving forward, and whether if there are any barriers we can do anything about them, and the sort of stage that you've got to go on. I think the obvious one for me to start is this time last year, almost to the day, you had 12 chapters written, it said very faithfully that within a few weeks your first draft of your thesis would be complete.
Right.
We then get to this one that says... you've got a schedule and you've written some chapters. That appears to be...
Regression. What I had done is I hadn't put these chapters to my supervisors. I'd worked on some papers, and I had collected everything in this very large thesis, which had about 250 pages with the line space. I've been submitting the chapters to my supervisors now, and they have been demanding a lot of changes. And asking me to remove a lot of stuff, really. I'm okay with that. I'm just going to... I felt that in a way it had stalled, because what I really needed was an electronic engineer on the panel, which I've now got, which has meant that things have moved a lot quicker. Because the practical application of FMEA, of which my thesis is aiming to create a modularised version of to modularise FMEA is really in the domain of electronic engineering. And when Chris came as a supervisor, we wrote a paper which was published in the IEEE, which I presented in Birmingham. I've got another paper which, as the abstract's just been accepted for Reliability and Maintainability Symposium in America. And I've got another work. I think it's October. I think so. I'll check. And I've got another abstract which I really hope gets in, which is a paper showing that the technique of modularizing FMEA means that you can incorporate software into these failure models. And I've already written that paper. I've written the abstract. I've sent it to the IET. They said they would reply on the 4th of June, not knowing it was a bank holiday. I'm still waiting to see if that one comes through. So I think before I was submitting a lot of work to mathematicians who didn't know the practical application of things. And really it's multi-discipline, because I'll describe things in set theory or processes and formalize things, which is excellent, which is where I need a mathematician to help me. But the practical side of it, I'm not sure how much credibility it had until Chris came along, really. And he demanded changes. He demanded that I simplify things. He said that I couldn't use certain types of diagrams, like Euler diagrams. He said, no, you can use directed acyclic graphs to describe these failure modes, which works quite well. Mm-hmm. But I've been using Euler diagrams and writing and stuff. But that language doesn't really speak to electronic engineers. It didn't speak to anyone at work. I could describe these ideas to people at work, but if I started drawing those diagrams, it would change.
All right. So we're now in a position where you feel that you're making some progress.
Yes, I've got. I have a chapter which has a cool concept of it, and I submitted 40 pages or so, and the first meeting whittled that down to 25, and now it's about 13 pages. I've moved lots of the things I like into appendices. I don't know if they'll survive. But I had lots of formulas recounting how many things there were in the tree and comparing the performance and things like that. And some of us.
So do you feel now that you've got a handle on what your thesis is going to look like?
Yes, I do. I think it's going to be a simpler story than I originally thought it would be. A lot of things are being removed, and I can see that what they want me to do is have more of a narrative and a simpler story with perhaps some appendices.
Have you talked with your supervisors about how long they think it would take you working at your current place to get a first draft done?
No, I haven't. I'll see you at the supervisor today about that report.
Have you actually finished the research itself for you?
Yes, I have. Yes. And that's where I thought I was, because I just kind of thought, well, I'm just going to write this stuff up. And in 2007, I spent a lot of time writing a paper about an app, because originally I was a Java program. So this was a software tool where you could analyze these failure modes in a modular way. And I found a very fast and efficient way to take an Euler diagram and create an abstract model from it. And really looking back on it, I should have just left it in the Java program and not wasted a lot of time. It was published in some proceedings, but it wasn't core to the thesis, really. And I'm beginning to see how I should be just focusing on what gets the PhD, not getting distracted at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficulty for everyone, particularly part-time students, I think. But, okay, we're at that position. There's a prospect that was not part of regulations when you started, called the thesis completion time.
Right.
And I'm going to ask that you and your supervisors complete some of these.
Okay.
And as you may guess from its title, it is literally that we ask there that that you set out the chapters the structure of the thesis.
Yes, I took that short on the trial meeting about 2 or 3 months ago. It's such
okay, well, we kind of like it when it's typed up.
Yes, in 4 minutes. I understand,
And it has a sort of, you know, and then that really a well-worked time frame on it, which is about you writing, you submitting, supervisors reading and commenting, you doing revisions. Because the biggest thing you get, I think, at these moments is that the student is thinking, I can knock off 5 chapters in...
Well, that was what happened to me.
Because the supervisors
weren't reading. Well, I wasn't submitting in small pieces to them. I was just connecting things into this gigantic document, and I had make files which could either make the paper version or the chapter version.
It's not necessarily that you have small bites, but it is that you and your supervisors decide and write down what the order of it is going to be. I mean, there are some colleagues who actually do like large chunks of work, and they set aside several days, and they really, that's the way they like to do it. Other ones like to see it in chapters and... What the thesis completion plan asks is that you and your supervisors sign up to a particular way that suits you, and that we then have got documentary evidence of what's going to be done by when. And that there is something there that looks like a thesis, that there is an indication of what your contribution to knowledge is going to be. Those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that we can all look and say, well, if he does that, and he does it in that time, there's going to be a thing that looks like a PhD thesis. It's going to be submitted within the time that's left. And all sorts. It then also leads on to sort of 6 months away from submission to talking about your examination. Who's going to be your external and your internal examiner? And that then requires, of course, that you write your abstract and we finalise your...
Right. I didn't even know that the thesis had to have an abstract.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has to be handed around so that people can expect it. So,
You should have a copy of the Code of Practice if you haven't. Shelley will send you one. But it's all in the Code of Practice is the layout for the thesis, so it will tell you.
I do actually like that idea of the schedule. Roughly what we did.
Okay, well, Shelley will send you the electronic version of that of the thesis completion plan document. If you are within 6 to 8 months of submitting, then you and your supervisors need to let Shelley know, and she'll also give you the exam arrangement document, because it will take time. By the time you've got an abstract ready, your supervisors have approached an external and an internal, and they've agreed. And then we've got CVs together and all sorts. All these things take time. That's what we need. Thesis completion plan, I think, Shelley, can we have a meeting on that one? I think it would be useful once you've submitted it, actually just to have a formal meeting. I think it's what I'm hearing there is sort of just to make sure that we've got this all buttoned down. You've got a year and a bit of time left. But I want to see that it's all buttoned down. There's a schedule that between Shelley and me we can watch and think that we need to slip, then we know it. And it is, as you say, what you're recognising here, this is actually about getting this piece of work done. Because it's actually far more important at this moment than presenting a paper at conference.
of which there are two possibly lunar. Well, there's one that's just had the abstract accepted.
Well, the student who did here before you, I just told him to withdraw from the conference because I think it's distracting him from doing what he needs to do.
Well, if I get the REP one,
I'll
forget the American one.
but let's just deal with that. So, okay, so we've got those down. How often are you seeing your supervisor?
Every 3 weeks at the moment, I would say.
Is that seeing as in face-to-face, or and is there email contact? And do you see all three together?
I sometimes see all three together, but if it's just in the domain of electronic engineering, I'll go to this. Because there's one chapter which is about 10 examples of retirement techniques for different types of circuitry to software and software and hardware hybrids and that sort of thing. And those ones are, I guess, yes, I do. Andrew's very useful for rigor, actually. He'll just go through something and find every little thing. He's excellent at that. So I've kind of realised that it's no good to throw something at you that's kind of an idea or an instruction or policy.
Research training. Did you do research training originally when you started?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Why was that?
I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had really. I've read the Open University book on getting a PhD, and that was very helpful. And I'm sure that now looking back on it, I wish I had done.
Well, yeah. I mean, the research training that doctors would go through those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you think you've got any needs now? Wondering about things like writing up or preparing for your viva, or
I would love to do a mock viva near the time, because I just don't know what's involved.
Yeah. Shelley, will you have a look and see what's available there? Just because there are some very good sort of half day workshops and things that help students in the later stages of their work, and I think either there will be something on preparing for a viva, or else come and put it down as an action for them, the supervisors, either there or the supervisors setting up a mock viva for you or something similar. But if we have I think some bits of training might be in order there. But okay. Well, I don't know that I've really got any of you
have. No, I'm sure you think you're all on schedule.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I handed in the first large chapter from this rather messy, gigantic document that I've made. Well, but so much of it was rejected, and it is just keeping to a common sort of. Well, a narrative story, I think so. Yes. I can't make the examples any shorter. But things like the Euler diagrams, they're just not in there anymore. I've only been able to sneak them in one place, where I was looking at where you have some piece of circuitry and you consider that both components have failed simultaneously or within a close time frame, and then I thought, well, I can actually use an Euler diagram here, and it lets me move. But that's the only one left in it, and initially I started working with constraint and spider diagrams, and wrote the software tool in Java to manipulate. But the MSP, I guess, was I wrote a software package that allowed you to draw Euler diagrams, and then it could give you what the abstract mathematical meanings of them were. So I based it on that. But Umbra, it's just not relevant now. But that was because these guys haven't been at all. Possibly, ideally, I would have had an electronic engineer and a mathematician as a supervisor right from the start. That would have made it quite a bit of a difference.
I think I can't comment having not been overseeing it. It's one of the things that with the Oxford College we're trying to do.
Yes. And an awful lot of people coming from industry are looking at a multidiscipline. They've got a practical side to it, and then they want the mathematics and formalism to support it as well. So it's probably people coming into those sort of environments, perhaps it's when they come in to actually say, well, here, have a safety engineer and a mathematician. Maybe it wasn't that easy to recognise.
I think it's so difficult to actually know. What I think I've learned over the past time is, particularly with past time students, is that we do need to review supervisory teams very regularly, because the sort of things, if you're in your early 20s and you've been through undergrad and all sorts, it tends to be a shorter journey. You're not travelling really as far, you're in an intellectual groove.
You've got the counselling around you. I would go off in directions that perhaps I shouldn't, because
that's right, because I think that when you're coming into an industry in common, so often the people that you meet at the start are different from the people you may meet once you've got a research plan.
Yeah.
And I suspect in the past we've not
okay, seen research plan, I haven't heard of that.
I throw these things out.
Right. I'm sure that now it's a document and it's approved and
we have instituted moments when we can review these things a bit.
Yeah.
But the important point with you now is to make sure that you've got the support you need to get these chapters written and to have a nice structure for your thesis and the title submission.
Yes.
So Shelley will be in touch about having a meeting on the thesis completion. And if that arrangement is necessary.
Yes, because there are two chapters which I thought would be the most difficult. Chapter 4, which describes the methodology. And then there's a chapter full of examples. And those two are the ones I'm working on at the moment. There are some that are writing up the background of these techniques, which started in the 1940s, and there's several variations of them now. They're based on the same core ideas. And so I don't see those chapters as being as difficult to get right as the methodology chapter and the example. Because they're providing background, and I've written about those things before. So, I can reference those things very well.
Alright. Do you have anything else that we should have asked?
No, I've gone through. Yes, I've gone through.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to approve progression. Subject to undertaking these actions that we'll get. So the report will come to you and your supervisors, but we'll just set those things out.
Okay.
And
So what's in our books was with the thesis completion plan that we
wrote.
Yeah, we'll become the form of the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good meeting. Okay.